This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360biz.com. My name is Debo Homafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360biz. It is indeed a show that brings you all things business. So this is a show that we bring in subject matter experts, industry champions, and leaders. Definitely, this is a show that we discuss all things business. Most importantly, what I love is real conversations that we tend to have with our guests. I'm actually excited that last week we actually had an interesting show that we're making a continuation of the show. Our guests, they're not new to the show. They're almost becoming like us. They're becoming part of the furniture. Maybe we must start including them in a payroll. That is, if we have, for that matter, a payroll. You might have missed the show last week. We're actually discussing the real estate of BEE in the country. And we discussed all things from what is happening within the fronting space and what is happening and what creative ways a company using or putting in place in regards to seeing themselves as being BEE compliant. We're not actually, you know, this is a discussion that we could actually have the entire month, if not the entire year. But then we're not going to be able to, unfortunately, do that. That's why today we said, you know what, let's have part two of the show to actually have this discussion and actually close up the discussion on an educational note, because there's some things that I think were raised last week towards the end of the show that we felt that we need to get into details more today. Unfortunately, Budelani Mbabalabala couldn't be in studio with me today. He had commitments that he had to attend to. But however, the show continues. We are here. Our guests are here. Let me take this opportunity to actually welcome back to the show this week. And I'm sure they also feel like family now. Kevin and Leanne, welcome back to 360biz.
Nice to be with you again.
No, definitely. So maybe let me take this opportunity to hand over to you. Maybe do you want to say hi to our listeners? Once more, tell us who you are and what is it that you do. Maybe there's somebody that is listening that didn't hear you last week that doesn't know who we're speaking to or who we're having in studio.
Oh, hi, everybody. Welcome to all of the listeners. I'm Leanne Friedman. I'm the CEO of EconoBEE. We are a professional consultancy who handles BEE. The majority of our business is BEE consulting, and we help our clients to earn more points on the scorecard, and we give them the best possible strategy at the end of the day. So thanks again for having us, and a warm welcome to everybody listening today.
No, definitely. No, thank you, Leanne. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, and I'm Keith Levenstein. I founded the business back in 2006. Since then, I've been doing BEE work. It's been challenging. It's been interesting. It's been frustrating. It's been good. So I've been through all the different emotions around BEE, and I continue to do so.
I mean, Kevin, you said you've started this business a long time ago. I mean, I know that somebody missed out last week, maybe on the show. Do you want to perhaps tell us once more, why did you start this business? I mean, you could have started any business. You could have been in construction. You could have been, you know, and you decided to say you want to go this route with us.
I had another business at the time. And when I came across BEE, it was something that simply or seemed to resonate in my little head. It sounded interesting to me. It was something that I could actually be good at. And I've always said I want to go into business for two reasons. Mm-hmm. Number one, I want to be able to be good at the business. I don't want to do a job that I wouldn't do very well on it.
Okay.
And secondly, I want to make a lot of money out of it. For some reason or other, and I don't know why, because I don't have a legal background. I've got a bit of an accounting and business background.
Okay.
I seem to start understanding how BEE worked, how it should have worked. Mm-hmm. And yes, we were successful. We have made a bit of money. We'd like to make more, but
you can never have enough, eh?
No. You know, as a capitalist, you've got to make, you've got to do as much as you can, because that indirectly helps the rest of the world grow anyway.
Mm.
And all of it seems to work reasonably well. As we discussed last week, I was feeling a little bit depressed until you made me feel a bit better, because as good as BEE should be, it isn't working the way it needs to be. And I think today we're going to be discussing the good ways to make BEE work, which will make know, me, you, and the listeners feel better when they want to do the work that they need to do.
Okay, Keith, I've realized that the word capitalist, it's a word that is very close to your vocab. Last week you threw it as well a couple of times in our discussion. There's somebody that obviously might not know or understand what is a capitalist. What is your idea of a capitalist?
It's quite simply a person who starts running his own business or is in his own business for his own profit as well as his own loss. It's the risk that you take in order to do something bigger and better than the competition.
Okay.
The alternative, of course, is things like, and I don't like using all these isms, but like socialism where government controls everything. Or communism, where I don't know who controls what, but in my little world, I like being free. I like free enterprise. I like doing things in my particular way. If I do something better, then I score. If I don't, I lose. So I take all the risks. I take all the opportunities that we possibly can. It's simply that.
Is it? Yeah. No. Definitely. Leanne, let me come to you. In regards to now, what you do as the CEO, last week you had a bit of it, and even today when you're introducing yourself, what you do as a company. But now, what I want to understand or establish, how exactly do you assess businesses or companies?
Okay, so let's take it back to the beginning of the whole process.
Okay.
Once a client signs up with us, we work on a retainer basis, so they contract us, we don't count the hours, and we work with our client from the start to the finish.
How long is the retainer, though?
The retainer initially is 12 months.
Okay.
Therefore, after 12 months, it's on a month-to-month, very similar to how the gym memberships tend to work.
The only difference, you're in expensive gym membership. Right?
and we don't force you to do exercise at the end of the day, but we do force you to do activities and to do activities that are sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, just to get back to the beginning, in the start process, we think knowledge transfer and training sessions are so important. So it starts with education of our clients, and that's education of what the scorecard entails, why they need to get a certificate. Some of the reasons why a company needs to get a certificate is if they are doing any government business, they must follow what's known as the PPPFA. That's the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act.
Okay.
So you must get a certificate. If you are a JSE-listed company, you must get a certificate. If you are applying for a license, for example, a gambling license or a mining license, you also need to get a certificate because government can take this into account when awarding those licenses. And, of course, the last reason why companies need to get a certificate is when their customer asks them. Now, the reason why a customer would ask them for their certificate is we're going to get into it a little bit later on in terms of the elements, but there is an element called procurement. And the element of procurement is also the cascading effect of BEE. So the original company, let's say, for example, you are doing government business and you need to get a good scorecard. You will then look at your own scorecard and you will look at your ownership, your management control, your skills development, your enterprise and supplier development, which is where procurement falls, as well as your socioeconomic development. And in looking at that, you will then realize that you can actually get some points by asking your suppliers for a BEE certificate. So those are the reasons why companies firstly need to get a certificate. Then we need to work out what sector do they fall under. Now, we've got the Codes of Good Practice, which most companies fall under.
Okay.
Then we've got construction, which is actually going to be gazetted in a final version quite shortly. We've got MAC, which is Media, Advertising, Communication, Tourism, Transport. There are about 9 in total. So we need to work out what set of rules the company needs to follow.
Okay. But now from that brief description, to me, it just says to me you're dealing with big business or businesses that are profitable, because there's no way in what you've said that I've had something that is accommodative of SMEs or small business.
Okay, so in looking at the services that we offer, there's 3 main types of businesses.
Okay.
The one is a business who has a turnover of less than 10 million rand per annum. So those are your really small businesses.
What are you doing for them?
Those guys, the codes, the BEE codes, actually say that they are allowed to get an affidavit. So this is a sworn affidavit, obviously in front of a commissioner of oath. growth that confirms that their turnover is less than 10 million rand.
Correct.
Based on that, they actually automatically get a level 4 BEE status.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are more than 51% black owned, then they automatically get a level 2 BEE status. And more than 100% black owned, they're automatically a level 1. So that's all they need to do. It's actually really, really easy for the small companies to get a compliant status. Remember, they don't get a certificate, but their affidavit is proof of their status.
Okay. So are you doing the affidavits for them?
The affidavits are done themselves.
Okay.
The DTI does have a template on their website, so somebody can download.
Yeah. So that part I understand. Mm. So hence my question was saying to you, what are you doing for SMEs?
We can help them. So one thing that I do think is quite important is that people do understand what an affidavit is.
Okay.
I think one of the possible issues is that somebody will sign an affidavit and not actually understand what they are signing. So we can explain to those EMEs exactly what the legislation says and what they need to have as proof.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, there's a lot of companies who don't, or a lot of people who don't always understand what the affidavit is. And if you lie in an affidavit, never mind the BEE side, that's mm-hmm. perjury. So
okay.
it's actually quite difficult. The next phase or the next type of company is a qualifying small enterprise. So
okay.
they are between 10 million rand per annum and 50 million rand. Again, depending on the sector, but between 10 and 50 million rand, these guys now have to get a certificate unless they are 51% black owned or 100% black owned. They can also do the affidavit like the EMEs and automatically get their level 1 status if they're 100% black owned and level 2 if they're 51% black owned. So the DTI has tried to help the smaller companies and help them get to a far higher level of compliance in a much easier way. The companies above 50 million rand per annum, those are the companies who are known as generic enterprises. They now must get a certificate and they must look at those five elements I mentioned earlier of ownership, management control, skills development, enterprise and supply development, and socioeconomic development. The majority of our clients do tend to be the generic companies and do tend to be the much larger generic companies. But I must also point out, you mentioned earlier, it sounds like there's a lot of profitable companies.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our clients aren't profitable. Some of our clients are having a really tough time, possibly because of their BEE status and not getting new business or new tenders.
Maybe let me come to you, Keith.
Mm.
Keith, Leon, in so many or in not so many ways, Leon is telling me that you guys are doing nothing for small business.
We think everything that we possibly can for small business. When a small business needs
What is anything that you possibly can? Because right now, for me, what I want is, obviously, if ever there's somebody that is listening, or a small business, then they know exactly what you're doing for them, so that they're able to call you, and they're able to call you, and they're able to say, this is the service that we heard this on radio, and I said, this is the service that you can help me in my business.
Exactly so. If a small business phones us, or they're listening on the radio, they can visit our website, or they can call us, and we will tell them exactly what they need to do. They think that they've got to jump through hoops. They don't.
Right now, the benefit is that I'm calling for them. I'm here with you.
Okay, and
let's do this for them.
Exactly so. We're telling any small business, if your turnover is less than 10 million rand, you need a B certificate because your customer might not buy from you. So the whole purpose of, as Leanna said, the B certificate is to get business. So many companies will say to us, I'm too small to get compliant. And we will always tell those people, and we have a call center who answers the calls and tells them they can become compliant. They don't need to get expensive services. All they need to do is fill in a form. If they want us to fill in the form for them, I will do so and we'll charge them a small admin fee. But in most cases, we will tell the company and we will send them an email giving them the form to fill in. It's a tiny form. It's a 3/4 of a page long. And that's all they need to do to become compliant. They need nothing more once that form is filled in and it's true.
Okay. But Keith, you are also saying the same thing. that you're not doing anything for SMEs. Because right now, let me make an example. Right now, Leanne has lately put it to say SMEs can go and do the affidavit themselves. Do you understand? So yes, they could come and you guys can assist them with that and this and that and that. Do you understand? But right now, with corporate or profitable businesses, if not big businesses, they seem to be having a far much more benefit from EconoServ than small business does.
I think Leanne wants to answer, but just to make the other point, the EME actually stands for Exempt Micro Enterprise. Mm-hmm. Those companies don't need BE services whatsoever, and we are honest enough to tell those companies that they don't need to spend money in order to become compliant. Mm-hmm. We do offer training services and we will help. We also will tell our clients to invite their own suppliers.
Okay. Simple thing, your training service that you're offering, how much is it cost? Because I know for a fact that your course is not costing 500 rands. It's costing thousands.
Some of the courses cost zero. If you're a supplier to one of our customers, mm-hmm. our customer will send an invitation to you and to all his suppliers to come to us for a two-hour free session. We've held many, many other sessions aimed at enterprise development. Yeah. Specifically, now we're talking about the black-owned company, mm-hmm. and we want to tell them how to leverage BEE onto them. So if you have listeners who are black-owned, I want to hear about them. I want them to send me emails, notes. In fact, I even tweeted you during the week. Mm. I'm looking for a small black-owned company that makes pest control chemicals because the one that I came across had a zero scorecard. There is a huge, huge opportunity. But I think Leanne still wants to give an answer to the question as well.
Yeah, thanks. That's actually what I wanted to add, that the biggest benefit that we give to SMEs isn't a direct benefit through me. But what happens is because we consult into these large corporates, mm-hmm. and remember these large corporates need to spend some money on an element called enterprise and supplier development.
Correct.
The beneficiaries of that enterprise and supplier development are these small EMEs and QSEs. Mm-hmm. The first thing that they need to have in place, I'm talking about the EMEs and QSEs, is they need their status. Once they've got their status, then the big business, the big corporate, can actually invest money in them.
Okay.
So the biggest benefit that we give is by giving the advice to the corporate, they are then able to spend, and there it is multi-million rands that go towards your beneficiaries.
I agree. Yes. 120%. But for me, I was thinking that, Keith, you were once a small business, we like it or not. You still are. Justified so within certain context, do you understand? But however, for me, it's a question to say, I want us to, when we live here, let's think as to how can we benefit directly a small business without having to go through that corporate. Because you, the course that you're saying you're offering for free, yes, it's a course that you're offering for free, justifiably so, because somebody's paying for it. But it's not something that is direct from EconoServ. So right now, for me, it's a question to say, what is direct that EconoServ is doing in terms of empowering? I think there's a lot that you could do. I mean, right now you could be helping these small businesses to say, to position themselves to benefit from from a supplier database, from ESD, from anything, or even raise capital using ESD. There's a lot of things that I think that value that you could give to small business, but you're not doing. But right now, the value has been given or has been derived directly from a big corporate because they've got big pockets to come knock at your door. So unless if ever you want to tell me that your door is for only those that can afford, then it's a different case.
To some extent, we can't do everything for absolutely nothing.
No. But it's not everything.
We certainly try. That's why we are active on social media and on the radio, press, TV as much as we possibly can, telling people how they can benefit. So let's take a small business right now.
Okay.
Who's out there? Mm-hmm. Let's say his turnover is less than 10 million rand, and he makes the water that I'm drinking, or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. He needs to understand how he can benefit his customer. Because back in a normal society, your price and your product is what the person decides to purchase. In South Africa, which is a slightly different society, is not only the price and the product that you are supplying, mm-hmm. it is also your B status, and you need to understand exactly how that is going to benefit your customer. Because if I can't explain to you, my potential customer, what I can offer you, you're not going to buy from me.
True.
And I want a small business to grow to be a big business so you can become a customer of ours anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that small business needs to know how the B scorecard works, what the particular issues are that his potential customer is. So he might go to a supermarket group and try and sell his services. When he does, he will say to this company, whichever one it is, Pick and Pay, Checkers, etc., I have bottled water. I can provide it to you at $3.50.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to say one thing also.
Okay.
He's got to say, I am a small business, so I will be able to add a couple of points or a couple of percentage points to your B status.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to know which of these companies that he talks to is more concerned about their B status than others. So if, for example, he goes to the cell phone industry,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you that the cell phone industry is crucially concerned about their B status. They will pay up to 5% extra in order to buy from a company who has the right status. And when I say the right status, I'm not just a level 1 or 2.
Okay.
If you're a small business, that is the EME,
mm-hmm.
there are still some points that these large cell phone companies are not earning, because they tend to buy from the large company.
Okay.
And when you, the small business who I'm talking to right now, goes to talk to their company, they should be aware of MTN or Vodacom or Cell C's B scorecard and know where their shortfall is.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a black-owned company, let's take the best possible B status type company,
okay.
which is a black woman-owned company with a turnover of less than 50 million rand.
Mm-hmm.
Companies are queuing to find that
okay.
particular company.
Okay.
That black woman needs to go along and, in a way, flaunt her B status, she needs to explain it.
Okay, right now, I understand that. Do you know how many women, black-owned, running on a turnover of less than 50 million, come and sit in this chair that you're sitting on?
Mm-hmm.
So right now, these are the women that are listening. So right now, you're speaking about flaunting these businesses. So let's speak to that woman that is listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they start? How do they start up going about flaunting that business to a corporate or to a company that has potential? It's either obviously to put them in, whether as a supplier or even invest in their businesses.
Well, they need to first of all know that the supplier is very interested in a company that is, excuse me, more than 30 and 50% black owned,
okay.
and has a turnover of less than 50 million rand.
Mm-hmm.
They need to target their own customers to ensure that to know that the customers are really as interested as I am saying.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to the average supermarket down the road, they're mm-hmm. not really interested in your B status. If you go to one of the large corporates,
okay.
they are crucially concerned. So we need to understand who our customer is.
Okay, maybe let's. Do you want to give us an example of some of these customers that you're talking about? Because you know, this show it's popular in such a way that after you leave here, we're gonna be inundated with emails. People wanting to know where are these customers, you know, or where are these clients, or where are these? Do you understand? So that we fit their profile for. So obviously, for me, I avoid that. I'm avoiding that. You now have a telephone line that is dedicated to 360 Biz, because now our people are calling. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? So let's give people information. Let's help people. That's why I want them to say, the minute this show ends, they need to know exactly where to go, how to exactly go about it.
I think I can solve your problem, though.
Thank
of being
you.
Inundated
solve my problem. Okay.
I'm going to make a quick decision, an executive decision over here.
Mm-hmm.
We have actually held, as Keith mentioned, some free sessions. And we did a session quite a while ago, and this was specifically 100% targeted at businesses who were more than 51% black-owned
okay.
and had a turnover of less than 50 million rand. We did it as I think it was about a two-hour session.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it in the point of view of explaining first the B certificate. So that was obviously essentially important.
Okay.
How that plugs into the customer's procurement score and into their score.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously because Keith's got, years and years of experience, we also did a session on just normal business practice and things like that.
Correct.
So I am offering that to all of your listeners today. We still obviously need to work out the logistics because I've literally worked this out in the last 5 minutes.
Mm.
But anyone who is going to send an email or give you a call, follow us on Twitter. You have seen, I know you guys retweeted some tweets. We tweeted as well.
Okay.
So you can find us on Twitter. Drop us either your Twitter handle or your email address.
Mm.
We'll compile a list. We're going to have a session with everyone. The quick answers today are basically around the fact that there is business out there. If I can leave you with one message, let me leave you with that message.
Mm-hmm.
There is business out there. A lot of our corporates are looking for those 51% or more black-owned businesses. We're looking for those women-owned businesses. We're looking for small black-owned businesses.
Mm.
The customers are ready for it. I think what they need is they need the suppliers to, as Keith says, flaunt it. So how do you flaunt it? I don't know. Phone them up or knock on their door and say, can I come in and can I sell you something?
Mm.
But the point is that all of those corporates that I'm working with are really, and I say this sincerely, are really, really looking for those businesses.
No, that's fine. We'll discuss those logistics. Like Leanne has said, if ever obviously you're listening and you want to take advantage of this opportunity, go to tweet us at cliffcentral.com, or you can tweet at hashtag or at 36thebizshow. Or even it's at EconoServe, right?
At EconoServe, at EconoBE, at you can even tweet me at EconoServe Lee, Keith Levenstein. So, we're all out there.
So we'll put together a database. Because Keith, I don't want us to be another talk shop. I really want us to help people and help businesses.
Yeah, that's exactly what we also would make us so happy. Right now, I have a client who would love to find a black-owned company that makes mozzarella cheese.
Okay.
I have a client who would love to find somebody who makes chemicals for the cleaning industry. And there are great benefits if somebody wants to go into business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, you don't go into business because you don't feel like you don't feel like working a job. You've got to be an entrepreneur to book, you know, how hard it is. But there's a lot of money out there. And we are very proud that some of our clients have actually put an investment into those companies. And in one or two cases, there's a great innovation hub down the road from here in near Diepsloot.
Okay.
It's called River Sands.
I know River Sands.
And this particular organization, as you know, they've 180 factories or something. And many of those entrepreneurs who are black entrepreneurs are being financed by these large corporates.
Mm-hmm.
The likes of, and I'm not necessarily naming our own clients, but the likes of MTN, Philips, Bidvest, Unilever, all those companies are putting lots and lots of money in to help those companies, the small entrepreneur, become a big one.
Okay.
It's actually, you know, to go back, and we spoke about your president last week, but one thing that he did that was quite good a couple of years ago is he said, we want to create black industrialists.
Mm-hmm.
And this is partially the way to create those black industrialists.
Yeah.
Of course, the person has to do the job well.
Mm.
And that is step number one, which they can, and there are those people. And about 7 years ago, it was quite funny. I was talking at a conference. There must have been about 200 people in the conference, and the person next to me was a man from SA Breweries.
Mm.
And he was saying just how difficult it is to find a black-owned company. Okay. And I stood up and said, where do you find these black women-owned companies? And right at the very back, the very last row, was this lady, and she put her hand up and said, here I am.
Mm.
I said, you shouldn't be at the back. You should have been sitting in the front, in our face.
Yeah. I think I wanna put up a challenge to you, Keith, as you're sitting here as the founder, and to you, Leon, as the CEO. Right now, 360 Biz, it's way more than a show. It's a movement. Do you understand? It's a community of entrepreneurs. Right now, for me, I don't want you to struggle. Where else we deal directly with these entrepreneurs, and that are looking for opportunities that you guys seemingly have, and you guys are struggling with them. Do you understand? So right now, for me, it's a question to say, in this platform, that's where obviously we share these stories week in, week out, 365 days a year. Do you understand? There's no week that you'll turn on your radio and I'm not on air, kind of thing. Do you understand? That's how much we devoted to the development of entrepreneurs. To say, right now, after the show or whenever we can set up, you know, let's set it. Because for me, for a kind of show like this is a show that needs to be in flux with brands. that are looking for these businesses, influx with brands that want to share stories that they're doing with some of these businesses and this and that. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. The platform is there. It's existing. These businesses are there, are existing. Do you understand? To say, let's have a sit down and let's come up with a plan. Chances are maybe we're positioning ourselves wrong, or maybe chances are we don't even know where to do, you know, those brands or those companies are. Do you understand? Let's formulate something that would really give real impact to these SMEs that will help them. Do you understand? For me, guys, I'm doing very well. I'm running my own business and doing a whole lot of other stuff. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. It's not about me, but it's about the entrepreneurship. It's about the person that is on the street. Do you understand? So for me, I want next year this time, if, you know, let's share stories of to say, from this show, this is what came out. Do you understand? These are the businesses that we'll be attesting. To say, through the help of the show, through the help of Econosev, this is what we've managed to achieve. Do you understand? And these are the businesses that we're able to what to have measured results and see real transformation and ESD implemented into their businesses. So, I mean, I'm committing myself. I can commit my team to say, you know what? This is what we do. This is what we want to do. So, and I'm throwing it at you to say, how can we help these people?
Sounds absolutely brilliant. As I said earlier on, I am so keen. I've absolutely made the decision. After this, we're going to talk about logistics. We're going to talk about when we can have an event to actually help these small SMMEs. In our world, we call them EMEs and QSEs. But basically, any company less with a turnover of less than 50 million rand. Mm. If I can just add in, because we work with so many different companies, we could literally target any entrepreneur that does pretty much any business service, because we'll be able to plug them in into any type of business. Mm. So I'd really, really like to get a nice database of all of your listeners who are in this category, who think they can benefit out of, you know, having some sort of partnership with us. Mm. We can obviously introduce them to the big corporates. The big corporates would absolutely love it, as Keith mentioned earlier with his story of that one little black female-owned business right in the corner. We want to push them right to the front and say, here's your customer. Mm. Here is an opportunity. So I'm actually really excited for it. Mm. I think 2018, you said that we should be next year this time. And I'm thinking, no, earlier next year. Definitely. We've got to have some impact. Mm-hmm. It would be fantastic to also put together a nice collaboration on, you know, a couple of successful stories.
No, let's definitely do that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Wherever I'm able to do a good job, as I said earlier on, I will be prepared to help and work really hard towards achieving the success, because I thrive on success and so does everybody else. So let's go along and do it.
No, definitely. Keith, and then just a quick one, Keith. How can BE be measured, though, to say it's success or not?
That's a really good question. It isn't only on your BE status. It is on the fact that we have a slightly better income distribution. It is on the fact that our employment equity is improving. And as you know, every year they come up with a report and it shows that unfortunately black people are still not participating as directors in businesses, or not to a greater extent. We don't want everything to be equal, because some people are better than others. But we certainly want to see it being slightly more relevant and equalized in some slightly different way. We also want to see, and to my mind, that's the best reason, is I'd like to see the economic growth of this country going from like this 0.00132% up to 5 or 10%, and we can. BEE, by the way, is not the golden bullet that is going to solve every single problem.
No, I wish
it was. BEE, as I mentioned last week, is the one that is blamed for every single thing. But it isn't going to solve every problem. It certainly can solve a lot of problems. When I start seeing an emerging black middle class, when I start seeing a lot more people happier with each other, one of those people happier would be me. And that's what I want, because I'm not as happy as I want to be.
I
want to
be happier too. Leanne, so don't you want to be happier?
Oh, absolutely.
No, Leanne, what is transformation to you?
Transformation. Sure, you're on a roll with the questions today, hey?
It's the last show, so I need to try and capture as much as I can.
That's why he gets the big bucks. Huh?
Yeah. listen.
he doesn't know the importance of this question because I've just started studying. I'm doing. I'm working towards my MBA.
Congrats.
Thanks. And the topic that we actually chose as the group is transformation, and we spent probably about 6 hours.
But you're sitting with transformation
hours.
Right here.
We spent 6 hours on it, and everybody knows what I do in the group. And I said, well, you know, let's look at people transformation. Let's look at our economy. Let's look at the demographics. Mm. And then they started talking about, well, what about technology transformation? And, you know, how it's transformed, and what about packaging? And so that's why I'm saying it's so broad in terms of that. But in terms of people transformation and in terms of our country, the most important part, I think, is looking at the people of our country. We've got 90% of our population is African, colored, and Indian. Mm-hmm. Only 10% of our population is white. And if we look at corporates, if we look at any structure of a corporate, that's actually the other way around. Mm-hmm. That 55 or 60% of top jobs are white males. The majority of companies, the employment equity, is majority white people. The way the demographics works, there's actually a high percentage of Indian, but it's not in line with the demographics of our country. Mm. So we need to change that. And I also very strongly believe in doing sustainable activities. So in doing a sustainable activity, I'm talking about things like skills development.
Okay.
Transferring those skills to the next generation, it actually irks me, it bugs me when I see an elderly white person, somebody who's exiting the business because they're retiring. They must pass that knowledge on.
That's
that
true.
Succession planning. Pass it on to the next generation so that they can continue.
Are big corporates transformed though?
There are some that are. There are some that have reached a level 1 and a 2. This is based purely on what the BEE scorecard says. Unfortunately, the majority of corporates aren't. No. They're sitting at level 6 or 7s, and the majority are level 8s and non-compliant. So out there, and I think that's why BEE is so necessary, because those big corporates who are trying, we'll give them some credit, but they aren't getting to the point that they need to get to. And as I say, if I look at mostly any company, you don't see the same demographics that you see in the country. And I think also, I mean, just to add on, how do we know if it's going to be successful? Well, maybe when we've got an economy that's growing and is more representative, our companies are more representative, but also we need to get the value out, and we need to make sure that those skills are passed on so that we can do that. And that's also why enterprise development is close to my heart, because enterprise development is going to create more jobs for people. We're going to be able to have a situation of, in fact, to put it into perspective, one corporate cannot hire another 1,000 people. No matter how much we try, they don't have space. They can't hire 1,000 people. But if they were to help 100 other companies, small black-owned businesses, to grow, and those people could hire more people, that's a nice method of solving some of our unemployment issues.
So that's true.
It's, to me, got to be sustainable. If the activity isn't sustainable, then all we're doing is putting off a problem for another 5 years or another 10 years. So sustainability is key, leveling those playing fields at the end of the day.
I mean, Keith, there's the Enterprise Development Conference coming up next week. I don't know if you know about that.
I do.
Is it? For me, I've had an opportunity of being part of that event for the last 3 years, and I've not seen you on the program. Don't they know you exist?
They do. At one stage, we were actually helping them with their own BE compliance, or the company that organized it. But I don't know. We haven't really been called upon. They tend to use some of the bigger companies who are doing a good job, like Anglo Zamelli is also is over there. So there are lots of other people. We're not a specialist enterprise development agency. I'd love to be doing that. I'd like to spend my time helping other people, coaching and mentoring them, but I haven't learned a way to turn that, to monetize it, so I tend to be an advisor. But, I think they're doing a wonderful job. Enterprise development hasn't always worked.
You are a real capitalist, Keith. Because to you, it looks like everything's about monetizing.
I'm not that interested in money. I'm interested in I really want success. But, you know, it would be stupid to do something that isn't going to show success in the form of some type of benefit.
That's true. So now, I mean, do you think, though, is there hope, though, in our country? For this,
when I talk to you, you give me hope. Yes, I do get somewhat depressed, but I also see the success that is happening. Mm-hmm. And yes, there is success. We have changed. I'm just maybe impatient. I don't want to wait until tomorrow. I want to see it happening right now.
Me and you are the same. That's why I think Leanne neutralizes us. You see, so that she brings in that patient element and that, you know. And that bit of hope, So, but Leon, I think obviously, let's use this last 10 minutes. Let's educate people. Right now, you spoke earlier of enterprise supply development. Can you kind of tell us quickly what is that about?
Okay, so enterprise and supply development is basically assisting small black-owned businesses to grow, to become operationally independent and financially sustainable.
Okay.
So it is any activity at all, as long as that definition is met, that the company is going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So the big corporate, they can spend their time giving mentorship and coaching to a small business. They can give discounts on products or services to a small business. They can give free rental to a small business. Anything, as I say, that meets that definition. I personally prefer the area of mentorship and coaching rather than writing out a check, which of course you can do to get points. But I think, you know, bringing it back to the words I was using earlier.
We are the ones that are writing out checks. They must come sponsor the show. You know?
You know what? It's quite sad, but towards the end of the rating period, and the rating period is the 12 months that they use for their information, as you get closer to the end of that rating period, the check writing just happens more and more.
When is that season?
They're all different, but I mean, December's one, February's one. Those tend to be the common ones.
Yeah.
I just always prefer that sustainable aspect of you can write out a check, it's fine, but it's not a sustainable activity. You know the saying of teach a man to fish?
Mm-hmm.
Give a man a fish. I messed it up.
Yes.
Give a man a fish and he has food for one day. Teach a man to fish and he's got food forever. So that's the sort of, you know, concept that I want to see. They can write out the check, of course.
Yeah.
But if they can help somebody to make more money later on, help with a marketing plan maybe or a sales strategy or something that is going to help them to actually bring in money and not need the check writing activity, is actually going to mean that they're a more sustainable business in 10 years' time. The check writing activity means that they get their money today, they're okay today, but they don't have a good business in 5 years' time.
Yeah.
So basically, enterprise and supply development are all of these different contributions that any large corporate can do specifically for a small business. You'll note that I say something called enterprise development and supply development.
Okay. You'll give us the difference quickly?
I'll tell you right now. The activity is the same, like I've been mentioning, but the beneficiary is different. So the beneficiary for an enterprise development initiative is any company. It doesn't necessarily need to be a supplier to the corporate. Whereas supplier development, we must see in their procurement list. And again, because I like using the word sustainability, it makes perfect sense to me for a corporate to be supporting a supplier to them in the way of maybe seeing if they could help them grow their business more so that that corporate could buy more from them at the end of the day. Now we're going to get to the numbers. So how much must the corporate spend? The corporate needs to spend 3% of their net profit after tax.
Okay. You must repeat that.
3% of net profit after tax.
So if ever, let me get this right. If a company is making, because we easily have companies that are making 500 million.
Yes.
So they must spend 3.5%.
Three percent of the net profit after tax. So basically,
if the profit is 100 million.
Yeah, then they need to spend 15 million rand on enterprise development.
No, 100 million is 3 million. 500 million is 15 million that they must spend.
Yes.
So now
my calculations.
So now these companies that are sitting on a balance sheet of billions, then it means they need to be spending a lot.
Yes.
Why do you think there is Anglo's and Merle and now he's putting in lots of money, good money. I'm not criticizing them. Good money into this enterprise development. Mm-hmm. In fact, as much as we might criticize them, Eskom is putting in a huge amount of money and effort into doing enterprise development as well.
So, but now, Keith, I love your wisdom. You know, if they've not told you, take it from me. You are a wise man. Yeah. So, and
you
and
must be delusional at the moment.
Probably I am. So, and Leon earlier spoke about helping someone. So, I want to know now. Let's take out EconoServe and what you do in terms of social media, trying to make people aware and whatsoever. Who are you helping? Who are you mentoring?
So who's
going to
answer Alan?
No. I know part of the succession plan you're handing over to Leanne, you're handing over to your son. But now, that's what I'm saying, outside EconoServe, outside your circle there, that is immediate, who are you helping or mentoring?
I don't know if I can give you that answer right now.
I don't want to disclose names, but we are supporting, we have over the last couple of years been supporting different businesses.
That part I understand.
Yeah.
So that's why this one was directed to Keith's wisdom, him personally.
you think I've got wisdom, I don't. I'm not giving you a good answer, and silence isn't good on the radio.
Let me answer for him. Maybe you must start mentoring me, so that if ever that question comes, you say, I'm mentoring Tabo Homafo, you can go ask him, right?
I would love that.
No, he doesn't want to mention too much, but the thing is, there are lots of companies and lots of people that he has influenced. Mm-hmm. So, as I say, over the last few years, I don't want to mention names, but there are companies that he has supported, as part of the company, and also a lot of people. There's a lot of people that see his reach. I mean, you saw us last week because of the tweets that made it all around social media.
That's true.
And I do think that with the way transformation's going, and this is transformation of technology now, that in the fact that, you know, tweets and Twitter and all of that social media actually reaches so far, people are seeing a lot of what he's saying, and a lot of those tweets I do think actually has a benefit on those people. The direct people that we work with, I know that they are appreciative of the time and effort that he puts in specifically, but also on a larger scale. It's embarrassing, but he's got way more followers than I do on Twitter.
Yeah, no, I know I'd be embarrassed if my father had more following too.
He even went on Twitter before I did, so he's very technologically advanced in that sense.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, I actually like that. If everything I didn't know, but I would say, Keith, you must just start a university, you see, and just transfer some of the wisdom to other. When are you writing a book?
I have so often wanted to write a book. I don't know if I can write well enough, but that is actually something that I would love to. I'd love to do in my old age.
Yeah, no, but you, okay, how old are you now, Keith?
I'm 61.
So, aren't you already in your old age?
Well, you can't ask that on air.
I still run marathons, subject to my hamstring. So I'm still fairly young at heart. The reason for wanting to let other people get more involved in the business is maybe they can do a better job. In many cases, they can. I don't ever say, just as a philosophical point, that my way is always the only way or even the best way. Mm. There are other ways of doing things better. In fact, I tell all the staff, whatever way you're doing, is there a better way? And there is always a better way. I'd love to write a book. I'd love to have more people that I do mentor. I've taken a whole lot of staff as well, but I don't want to embarrassing by giving their names, and I hope that it's working.
Leanne, I'm telling you, I'm going to be on that list.
Brilliant. I'll see you at the office, and you can go for coffee together and for a nice smoothie.
Definitely. I think more than anything, Keith, one thing I wanna put it out there and make it clear. The reason I brought you onto the show and 2 weeks in a row, it's the fact that I love what you do.
Thank you so much.
So, and more than anything, it's for us as Cliff Central and 360 Biz. I appreciate you, the work that you're doing, fighting for transformation. fighting for the rightful, you know, place of businesses into the marketplace, you know, and for the chance for some of these businesses to actually see the light. Do you understand? There's few people that do what you do, and that do it with passion. You know, right now, like we've said even last week, that you're in an industry that's easy to launder money and do all these other things. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. People are doing this to, for selfish reasons other than pure transformation on itself. Mm-hmm. And right now, it's something that you're doing, and it's something that you actually transferring to your kids as well. You know, and I really hope and pray that EconoServes grows to be a big business. That is able to do more for more people, to understand and have a bigger impact. Because reality is very, very few people that will have an opportunity to actually sit with you and have a discussion like we're having today. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. And I know that for a fact, I mean, we've had amazing feedback even from last week's show, that people were just saying, wow, do you understand? And they were even shocked by the level of knowledge that that the DN is informed with. Mm-hmm. You know, it says that it's really a proper succession plan, and he's in good hands. I think more than anything, it's just for me to appreciate you and to thank you for coming up with this business, and to thank you for doing a whole lot of amazing work that you do outside. Keep up the good work, and I really hope that Leanne and your brother, you guys will take it to a completely different level.
Oh, gee, yeah, you're making me quite emotional over here. This is really nice. I need to listen to what you said. I'll put onto my phone and listen every 10 minutes from now on. but in all seriousness, thank you very much. It's what I... If you're saying this, it's actually what I wanted to do when I started the business. Mm. And as I said, you know, money, capitalism, but success, and knowing that I'm appreciated and I can use my little bit of knowledge. And yes, you know, I've got wisdom in some areas. Mm-hmm. I know a little bit about running, if you want to know about that. I know a little bit about BE. Mm. I don't know enough about all sorts of other things. Okay. But what you said is really nice, and it's what we wanted to achieve in our business. We are more than happy that we have a business with about 30 people. The people who we have, we are very proud of. We actually are so happy that so many of those people have grown so much. One of the people who was actually going to come with us today started out not even as a junior consultant, as the person who answered the telephone. Mm. And this guy has grown so much. Mm-hmm. He is now a consultant. He goes to see our very valuable clients, and they respond better to him than any. And when I see how he started, and when I see where he is right mm-hmm. now, it's taken 6 years or 5 years, I think, 4 years, mm-hmm. about 4 or 5 years. And he has done so much, and that makes me feel better than even the success that we have had, because all of that is rubbing off on us as well. And yes, you know, he might end up leaving, and other people do leave, and I get all upset and mm-hmm. irritated over it. But the people we've got, the fact that we have spent a bit of money helping some of our staff get driver's licenses. Mm. Now, in another country, they'd say, what do you need a driver's license for, or why don't you have one? But in this strange country of ours, many of our staff don't have driver licenses. Yeah, and when they get a driver's license or learners, they don't even have a vehicle to drive. So... Yeah. They use company vehicles. Yeah. You want to know how many dents there are in our cars at the moment?
I can imagine. But guys, we've ran out of time. But more than anything, our door is open. Let's have some of these stories, Leanne. You know, let's showcase them. Let's share them. Let's bring in some of these people. Let's talk to them more than anything. So as we close in quickly, people that want to get hold of you, can they get hold of you?
Yeah. EconoServe Lee is my Twitter handle. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, our web address is www.econoserve.co.za. Otherwise, give us a call on 011-483-1190. And please do tweet us or send an email directly to the show. We are going to host an event early next year for entrepreneurs. So we'd like to see you then.
No, definitely. When you guys are hosting events, come through, guys. We'll market those events Fantastic. For you, and we'll get the word out there. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, this is all that we had for you here on 360 Biz. Catch us again for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Debo Homafodi with the amazing guests that we have in studio. We out.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.